Hi, it's Gillian here from Irish Funds. Today, we are bringing you the next episode in our series of recordings from the Irish Funds 10th Annual UK Symposium, which took place on November 30th in London. This episode features a presentation entitled Cross-Border Fund Flows 2023, which was given by Ralph Williams, Associate Director of Broadridge. During this presentation, Ralph discusses 2023's funds landscape, using the analogy of being stranded in a desert to outline the various options available. The options he discusses are as follows. Option 1, to stay put where you are, referring to where the funds industry is currently at in terms of net outflows versus inflows. Option 2, seek an oasis, such as in the form of an ETF or ESG. Option 3, befriend a local, meaning identifying sub-advisory opportunities in Europe. And option 4, making yourself visible, translating to the importance of your brand and partnerships. We hope you enjoy this episode and be sure to keep an eye out for further podcasts on the UK Symposium coming soon.
My name is Ralph Williams. I'm from Broadridge, and today I'm going to be using our data to take you on a little trip through 2023's somewhat arid funds landscape. It's past 4 o'clock. It's been a long day of talking about funds already. So in this session, we are going to concentrate on what really matters, or should really matter, desert survival techniques. So if you do find yourself stranded in the desert, which may be a familiar sentiment for some managers this year, you do have plenty of options. You can stay where you are and wait for rescue. That is the first place anyone will look. You can seek an oasis. Even in the desert, there are places capable of sustaining life. You can befriend a local. Chances are there are some desert dwellers out there who are having an easier time than you. And you can make yourself visible and try to get some outside interest in your case. So our first option is to stay put and wait for rescue. I'm going to be honest and say I don't think this is our preferred option, but it's a very good place to start talking about where we are really this year in terms of the fund industry. As you know, it has been a hard year for European sales, and if we drill down to the cross-border level, it gets worse. Now, I realise that the writing on this slide is going to be a little bit small for you, but if you haven't guessed, cross-border is in blue. We are faced with a 47 billion net outflow this year. That's euros, 47 billion euros. And that compares to a 22 billion net inflow for domestic funds. The chart on the right breaks out the asset class sales. Really, it's fixed income that's leading sales this year. A little bit of equity, and then we've got mixed assets bringing the overall sales numbers down and other. Now, should you be waiting for a rebound? What I can tell you is that the net sales picture has got worse in the last couple of months, August and September, so last data months. Since then, markets have done a bit better. Anything could happen. But even if there is a rebound, to be honest, flows are going to go to those same safe products that have done well this year. And that's bad news because they sit mostly on the domestic side. And in fact, there's even interest on investment products beyond the funds industry. We've been paying close attention this year to direct bond sales, retail bond sales, in, for instance, Italy, also Spain a bit. And there's been some very big sales of government bonds to retail investors who would usually be your investors. So that's set to continue. They're tweaking legislation as well. We're going to see more of that. Staying put isn't a fantastic option, and actually, there's more to it than that, because even staying put requires some effort. This is a bit of a thought experiment, but we said there's been 47 billion that has flowed out of cross-border funds so far this year. Within that 47 billion, there is actually a positive 49 billion euro inflow to products launched in the last 3 years. So what we're saying is that without that steady flow of product development, the net sales picture would actually worsen. We would be on double net outflows of 100 billion euros without those recent fund launches. Your next option is to seek an oasis. It's been a dry year for sales, but there are a few green spots. And my first oasis today is actually ETFs. Not everyone's cup of tea, I know, but it's an asset class that has seen consistent net inflows in recent years. So our ETFs are in orange here. And in fact, there's only been one year, 2021, where non-ETFs, so active funds and traditional passives, have outsold ETFs. There's a table on the right-hand side here. Really, what's interesting in this table is that six out of the 10 top-selling sectors this year have been bond sectors. So it's unfair to think of ETFs as just an equity opportunity. Our other oasis is ESG, or is it? According to the map on the left-hand side here, actually, ESG flows have dried up. The oasis is dry. 2022 and 2023 have seen outflows. Obviously, there's a lot going on in ESG. We've got lower performance. We've got greater complexity, greater regulatory instability. We've got greenwashing. Recently, we've had a bit of a cultural backlash. So there are some very valid concerns. And yet, I think this map is a little bit misleading. So I've drawn another one on the right-hand side. And we're actually looking at the same things here. We're looking at SFDR disclosures and sales. But what we've done is we've added one thing. We've added ethical terms into the names. No, we haven't added them into the names. We've added them into the data. We're looking at funds that have an ethical term in the name or don't have an ethical term in the name. So it's a bit of a proxy for whether a fund is actively marketed as ESG or not. And what appears in this data is that it's the funds with ethical terms that potentially a true ESG, they continue to do well, whereas funds, typically Article 8 products, that aren't actively marketed as ESG are doing badly. They're the ones dragging down sales. Of course, if you go to the Oasis, you should expect a little bit of competition for water. And this slide is a complete exaggeration. I just love the picture. There's plenty of water to go around. We do see a first mover advantage in ESG and in ETFs. But in actual fact, when we look at AUM, concentration at the top is coming down. Your third option is to befriend a local. And really here we're talking about the sub-advisory opportunities on offer in Europe. There's a couple of interesting things I would say about this. The first one is that actually sales here have held up better this year. And the other is it's a great space because you can compete for existing assets under management, of which there is no shortage. I'd add that at Broadridge we can actually track the competition too, because we can see mandate wins. We can see when a manager chooses a new fund selector, switches sub-advisors or sub-advisor or sub-advisors on a fund. We can track that. Really, the takeaway here, though, is that the size of the prize is quite interesting, 1.25 trillion. You'll see on the right-hand side table, too, that this is mostly an active opportunity. And, of course, it's a space where smaller players with the right expertise can do well. I'd like to spend a little bit more time on our fourth option, because being visible in the desert is really the difference between life and death. I won't stretch the metaphor too far, but we are talking about brand here. So why is brand important? I'm going to break this down for you. At Broadridge, we track we speak to about 800 fund selectors, distributors, every year. And we collect data points on things like brand and brand perception. And what we've done is we've taken the top 50 brands in Europe and we've overlaid that data with our sales data. And of course, big brands are often big groups. So to mitigate for any size bias, we've actually taken net sales over starting assets, so organic growth, if you will. And just as a final measure, we've taken organic growth as an average for 3 years, so we get a bit of a longer term view. And what this chart says is that it's the top brands that see the most sales. And it's not the only finding that we have from this data set. We also see that rising brands in Europe see more sales, and that falling brands in Europe see accelerating outflows. So brand clearly is important, and we can talk a little bit about what managers can do to boost their brand. First thing is to send the right signals. You need a product strategy. Are you following a trend, or are you trying to shape it? What capabilities are you demonstrating? Are you targeting a gap in the market? You need a joined-up firm. This is important because fund selectors today have contact with multiple points within your group. So you need product and marketing and sales to be singing from the same hymn sheet. Otherwise, at best, you're going to look a little bit disorganized. Internal coherence is also important. If you have values, you obviously need to live up to them. Next off, the right information. You've got to be transparent. We're going to come back to this, but portfolio transparency, transparency about your strategy. You've got to provide data. How does this fund differ from another? And everyone wants more information today. So you also need to provide a tool to manage that greater flow of information, or tools. Last but not least, the right service. And increasingly, the right service level in asset management is high service levels. And to an extent, this is about responsiveness. How fast do you answer queries, and do you provide the right information? It's about accessibility. How easy is it to get in a room or on a phone call with people who have that information, who can provide more information, or maybe even the manager themselves? So you do this correctly, you build your brand. Some of these components are really down to you as the asset manager, but as you can see, it's a lot about the relationship. I'd go further, it's about partnership. This is my last slide. We'll spend a little bit more time on this. Partnership is important. If you look at this chart on the left, it's the number of providers that fund selectors are working with, the number of managers they're working with. And that list, that buy list, has been edging down over time. What we see is that fund selectors want to work with fewer managers, but they want deeper relationships. So we're moving from a product-based relationship to a service or partnership-based relationship. One of the things that we track is what criteria goes into the decision to work with those managers. And the second most important thing is information provision. The third most important thing, according to fund selectors, is client service. A related question, we ask them, what's the thing that managers need to do better? What can they improve? And by a very long way, the answer is transparency. So in a nutshell, to be a good partner, you shouldn't keep secrets, or you should keep fewer secrets. And to be a good partner, you need to provide support. And we've said that that rests on accessibility and responsiveness. You can go beyond this. Many managers do. There's lots of ways to build your partnership. But really, my point for you is that when it comes to a difficult sales year like 2023, working on client service and brand will ensure survivability in the desert. We are coming to the end of the desert road here. But there's another panel that is going to continue on this distribution theme, and Broadridge has partnered with Irish Funds to do a white paper on cross-border trends, and that is available on the app. You can download it straight from the app. I don't think we're doing questions, but you will find my email address at the top of that white paper. We've reached the end of the desert road. Thank you very much.